Thank you. And I'm afraid I haven't got any slides. I didn't get my act together on the slide. So we are just going to have some words. I haven't got to worry about technology failing on me. Thank you for inviting me along. I'm going to speak as much as anything as a farmer tonight, as Minette has done to some extent. And, you know, it's extraordinary that we find ourselves in this time. When I started farming over 30 years ago now, one of my convictions was that we would not have the cap for much longer. And so I kind of spent a lot of my life trying to build a business that would be able to survive when the cap went, because I was sure we weren't going to get that support. And I've been proved wrong. Now, at this stage of my life, we're thinking, right, okay, now we're going to face it for real. But I think that sort of, that independence, or that desire to be independent and to be able to manage our own fate a bit more, I feel if it is a farmer, we are independent by nature. But we are also, I think, extremely bad sometimes at putting that independence into practice, which we've been very easily led by the support system around us. Now, I've been always very keen, you know, going back to the question of this evening, how can environmental benefits be secured from farming while meeting requirements for food products? I've always been really keen on integrated solutions. And I was drawn to organic farming because it seemed to be a very elegant solution to a number of the challenges that were very clear even 30, 35 years ago. The biodiversity crash, we could see it happening then. We knew that soils were starting to run out of steam. There were issues around animal welfare, particularly in the intensive pig and poultry sector at that time. The energy efficiency was as bad or worse then as it is now. So I became very interested in organic farming as a way of trying to combine the environmental benefits that I really cared about with the commercial opportunity to stay in business and to become more independent and to produce good quality food. So for me, trying to find an opportunity to balance all those things and bring them together rather than seeing sort of productive agriculture or sort of, you know, commercial agriculture in opposition to the environment and at loggerheads with it. So we could talk a lot about that. I think there are many benefits of looking at that systems approach. And I think while organic farming might not be the best at everything, it hits a high score across all of the issues that we are concerned about today. More recently, I've become really interested in agroforestry. And I think agroforestry is one of those new solutions. I'm going to talk a lot about solutions today, I think, sort of new ideas that are coming into the frame and maybe ought to be taken more seriously in this future farming policy that we're developing. For me, agroforestry, which is basically bringing trees into the farmed environment. We tend to think that we have our forests or our woods over here and we have our farmland over here. Agroforestry starts to mix that all up a lot more. So I'm planting trees at 27-metre spacings over quite a chunk of land, over 200 acres over the next 3 or 4 years. And the benefits of that are substantial. It's kind of three-dimensional farming, so you're catching the sunlight from another angle. You're able to increase the total yield from your area of land by maybe 50%. You're producing a much greater diversity of products, whether that be timber or nuts or fruits, all the things we should be eating, cricket bat willow, all sorts of opportunities in trees. And the benefits to biodiversity are huge, as well as stabilising our soils, helping to prevent flooding. Very good for livestock too. So I think some of these kind of approaches, and I would say that's one that really does need to be on the agenda, these sort of system changes, I think could be extremely helpful in trying to marry productive farming with the environmental challenges we have ahead. There's some geographies, some parts of the country, as we all know, are more agriculturally focused, more easy to farm and more productive, and other areas are more environmentally blessed. And of course, a future agricultural policy is going to have to gear be able to enable that those geographic differences to be exploited further. So, you know, I can see that the uplands is going to be able to, should be able to secure environmental payments, and it would make a lot more sense for the uplands to be reaping the majority of their reward for the services they provide to society as a whole. Some of our really heavy clay soils actually may well be better sequestering carbon and managing water flows and supporting biodiversity than they are trying to plough them or cultivate them. And I guess alongside, you know, I've talked about organic and I've talked about agroforestry, I think it may be interesting to see in some areas whether we do go further, whether we do allow some regeneration of real nature. It doesn't all have to be planted forest. I'm very interested by some of that. Rewilding is such an emotive word at the moment. But actually, some of those approaches may be very cost-effective in terms of doing the things that we need to be thinking about doing. And I'm fascinated, too, by how much food you can produce from a semi-wild system. I'm always taken with the idea of the American Dust Bowl or the American Midwest, where we basically took the bison off and put the same number of feedlot cattle on over a period of 100 years. And sometimes I think as farmers, we make a lot of work for ourselves to produce our food. Are there easier ways to produce our food than the way we seem to think that we have to go about it? And I know, you know, this isn't that I'm not speaking here some of the time here as this is not necessarily soil association policy. These are ideas that I think we need to be playing with. How do we actually generate our food into the future, and how do we get that balance right? I'd also like to reflect for a moment about the part of the question which is about the demand for food products. There's a real mantra going around the place around feeding the world. It seems to be a justification for all sorts of nonsense. I wonder whether we shouldn't, as farmers, and again I'm speaking as a farmer here, allow the market to sort some of this stuff out. As we've seen, farming is largely unviable, commercially unviable, in many, many places without the direct supports. If it is so, why, as farmers, are we carrying on producing all this goddamn stuff? I mean, most of us, in most businesses, if there isn't somebody who's prepared to pay you the amount you need to be paid for what you're producing, you would stop producing it. And yet, a lot of the time, we just keep trying to produce more of it. So I think there are some, you know, we need to get our heads straight about some of this stuff. We don't need to be led by those who say that it is the farmer's duty to feed the world and go bust in the process. If the world is short of food, the prices will go up. And we probably should be taking a bit more responsibility for our supply side if we're going to want to see the prices we need to be able to pay. I know that's a, you know, it's a tough market. If you've got land, we do the things we like to do. I like to do certain things with my land. It's very hard to look at some of those economic lessons. I was interested the other day. It's an old mantra, another mantra, but the internalization of the externalities. I was listening to Dieter Helm at the Green, whatever it was last week. So many conferences, it's hard to keep up. You know, for a long time, many of us have said, of course, if we internalized the externalities in farming, we would get all this stuff right. I've always said if we internalise the externalities in farming, organic would be the cheapest way to produce our food. Dieter was talking again about, you know, creating a more perfect market. It's been, again, something we've been talking about over decades. I would really like us to explore, and I think some of that exploration is happening. Is it possible to do that seriously? Have we really got the appetite to properly internalise the externalities that farming generates, the good ones and the bad ones? And, you know, there's no doubt that would bring us, take us into the use of things like taxes on things that are polluting, potentially. It would mean engaging private money. So the water companies, and I know there's a lot of talk about that, and others who have got an incentive to put into the pot. Amongst many other things, better labelling so that the consumer can actually make an informed choice about what they're buying. I think it's jolly difficult, despite the kind of attractions to the economists around the place. If we can't do that, and if we don't have the appetite for that, and I think, as Minette said, the trading environment that we're operating with it within will make a big difference to that, then we are looking at compensating for market failure in a lot of these areas, so coming back to the public money for public goods. I think that even if we had the ambition of creating a more perfect market and allowing the market to internalise these issues, I think in the short to medium term, we are probably looking at compensation for market failure because I suspect we can't move into that system in any way overnight, and that we won't have the political appetite for it. So, a few... Dougal suggested I might make sure we had some sort of, you know, stimulating questions to think about as we go into the first part of our discussion. One of the things that I'm thinking about a lot is how the advances, some of these disruptive technologies in food production are going to really take the pressure off our land. The interest in things like insects or algae or fungi or vertical farming systems, aquaponics, all these kind of things, how much potential do they have to stop this debate being about, do we have to brutalize nature in order to produce enough food for ourselves? And I think that would be an interesting question. If those people, anybody in the room here who's got experience of those technologies, the efficiencies of them, the potential of them, it's something I've been looking into quite a lot because I think it's an extremely interesting part of the jigsaw. I'd like us to be thinking about what are the most urgent problems we need to crack? If we can't crack it all, I think actually by taking a systems approach rather than trying to put all these issues in silos, I'm always interested, as I said, right at the beginning, in an integrated approach to trying to solve our problems. But we may have to make choices. And we may have to decide what we most want to crack in which order. So if we were looking at climate change and biodiversity, the biodiversity crash and the need for food, you know, which of those are the most urgent? Do we need to prioritise? The third one I'm really interested in is where do you draw in policy terms the balance between regulation, which is a very cheap way for governments to actually affect change, and incentive? We're going to have to work out where that line is. And that might be one to come back to in question time as well. And occasionally, I wonder whether, if we're talking about economic efficiency, and if we do think that we're not prepared to stop farming and let the market sort itself out, where is it most economically advantageous, economically efficient, to put support into the system? Because actually, despite the fact that I've never been a supporter of direct payments, it may be that the most economically efficient place to put money is in at the farm level, if cheap food or affordable food is what we're actually looking for. I'm going to kind of stop there and hope that takes us into some kind of discussion. Thank you.